You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the concept of binging sports and why the Yankees' reign may not be as great as you think, because there's another strong team in the American League East. The show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on all the platforms where you get podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. What really is your team every day? We're at LockedOnMLB_net on Twitter, LockedOnMLB on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I had a weird thought happen to me the other day. Binging entertainment is kind of how we're almost expected to enjoy things and watch things and participate in things, is through binging. And think of it, that is a relatively new way of following entertainment. Because, like, for example, now you're expected to, if you're into a show, you got to start from the first one and watch it all the way to the end. And I'm doing the right for 6 Feet Under, which is a show which I had seen a couple times, but I really want to experience it from beginning to end. I did it with Peaky Blinders on Netflix. I did it with Sopranos and Breaking Bad. And some of these shows, like Breaking Bad, like Mad Men, like The Sopranos, they feel like they're one giant story. Marvelous Miss Maisel is another one. They feel like there's one big old story from beginning to end. It's not a series. You're watching a really long movie. You know, Stranger Things, there's a really long movie that you're watching. And it doesn't make sense unless you watch it from the beginning. You're expected to watch it from the beginning. And TV shows didn't used to be like that. You could jump in them midway through the stream. You know, they're designed that they have the opening, this is setting up, this is who the A-team is, this is who, you know, Jim Rockford is, or whatever it is MASH, the helicopters land, they have to do surgery, boom, get on with it. And sometimes, oh, this is a Frank Burns episode or it's a Winchester episode, but you could just jump right in. The idea is that the story's starting at the beginning, it's going to end at the end. There may be a tiny bit of residue from a previous episode, but not much. You usually get the idea that, you know what, Sam and Diane, there's a lot of tension there, and Norm and Cliffy are going to argue, and Coach is going to say something hilarious, and Carla's going to say something sassy, and boom, you know how it goes. And you thought, oh, this is a Rebecca. Is it a Rebecca episode or is it a Diane episode? And I was thinking about this in terms of podcasting. I've been listening to some podcasts from the beginning. Like, oh, I better listen from the start. But why? Why do you have to listen from the start? You're not going to be able to follow it? And a thought hit my head, which was, what if we had to binge sports? What if you're like, do you know what? I'm going to be a baseball fan this year. And this thought has been bouncing in my brain a little bit because I'm kind of interested in following a team other than the Red Sox this year. I'm a little disillusioned by them. I thought, what if I just throw my allegiance somewhere else? I'm not moving back to Massachusetts. Why am I letting them play with my emotions like this? And why not root for another team that gives me a chance to have a new mountain to climb? I've seen the Red Sox win 4 World Series, even if they vacate the 2018 title. I still have 3 World Series titles with that team that I've seen won. What if I try to experience that with another team? So let's say this year I want to root for the A's, or I want to root for the Mariners, or I want to root for the White Sox, or I want to root for the Pirates or the Padres or some team like that. And these are all teams that are bouncing around my head as potential teams to follow. Well, imagine if we took the same attitude about sports fandom and applied it using the binging mentality. Like, let's say I want to be an A's fan. Okay. Well, before I get into it, I got to binge. I got to go all the way back, and I got to start watching every game so I build up the wellspring of knowledge to root for them. Like, you know, would I have to start in Philadelphia? would I have to start in Kansas City? It's like, hey, did you see the A's game? I was like, hold on. I'm still trying to get through 1973. I'm still trying to get through that year. It's one of the things that's nice if you know the history of baseball. It is kind of like you've binged a show. As someone who grew up following the Boston Red Sox, I read about Bobby Doerr and Ted Williams and Johnny Pesky. You can't talk to anyone older than me who's a Red Sox fan who'd not hear them talk about the 75 World Series and the emergence of Rice and Lynn and the Red Sox in 1967 and winning the pennant that year. Yeah, and that's basically what you need to know. You can jump into a game in midstream. You don't need to watch a game from the beginning. You watch it. What's the score? 5-2. Well, how'd they get the two runs? Well, I was going to say Mookie Betts hit a home run. I said, J.D. Martinez hit a home run. Well, how'd they get their five? Yeah, Uvalde got rocked. Boom. You've done it. You've binged the game. You can just jump into it at midstream. And that's kind of how we used to consume our entertainment. They didn't need to know all the history. You can just enjoy it in midstream. I kind of enjoy that about sports. And feel free, if you want to listen to back episodes, great. But you basically, here's it. Your pal Sully, I like baseball. I'm going to talk about it. I have some weird thoughts. I just was sitting here today chuckling at the idea of binging baseball. And what would that mean? Now, there are ways to enjoy games of the past. You go on YouTube, and believe me, this is a fun rabbit hole to go down. You could hear old broadcasts from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. I sound like a radio station there. But it's amazing to listen to games where you know the outcome. You know how it's going to turn out. But the announcers don't, the people don't. And you could watch how it was covered. And you could see little details and little things like that. Please, please seek out anything that was called by Joe Garagiola. But there is online the famous Bobby Thompson game, the radio broadcast of the Giants-Dodgers game that decided the 1951 playoff. But it's not the Russ Hodges call, which we've all heard. The Giants win the pennant! The Giants win the pennant! It's a different announcer calling it from a different point of view. And before the Bobby Thompson home run, he was talking about how this is one of the most amazing, incredible games he's ever seen in his life. And I'm listening to go like, wow, this is before Thompson hit the home run. So if you want to binge baseball, you can. I love watching old TV broadcasts when you see how some of the technology is in its infancy. And you see some of the games and it unfolds. You're like, oh, look at that young player. I forgot he was on that team. Or look at that veteran. You can binge the game. It's fun to, especially in the off season. My goodness, I love just having, if I'm driving, I'm listening to an old broadcast from the 40s or 50s. I know who won the game, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's some random game between the Tigers and the White Sox. Those exist too. But here's the deal. You don't have to listen to all 162 from every season. Just get the highlights. No need to binge it. It's more like, I don't know, Cheers, where you can jump in midway through and you get the idea. Forgive that little rant I just did. I just was poking in my brain like that. It just struck me as an interesting idea that we consume sports differently than our other media and our other forms of entertainment. And the idea of watching everything is relatively new. But hey, let's talk a little bit actual baseball, what's going on this year. Now, I'm going to bring on the good folks at Locked On Rays later on in the next couple weeks or so. But I want to talk about the Rays. And the reason I want to talk about the Rays is because, in a very interesting way, they could potentially be the team that benefits the most from this rash of injuries that are taking over the Yankees. And we've seen it taking over their pitching staff. They've lost Severino for the year. They've lost Paxton for a chunk of the year. There's already the ominous tests that are going around about Aaron Judge and the injuries floating around about Giancarlo Stanton. Look, the Yankees are still going to be a good team going into next year, but if they don't have the pitching depth, and I've made this point before, then the idea of penciling them in for 100 wins for the third straight year, that may not happen. And remember Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay was the road team in the wild card game, but they won 96 games. 96. That's more games than the Nationals won. That's more games than the Cardinals won. The only teams that won more games in the National League than Tampa did were Atlanta and Los Angeles. The American League was a little more top-heavy. But even if they hold serve and are a 90-some-odd win team, they win a couple games more, they win a couple games less. It's not outlandish to think that the Rays are going to be a 90-some-odd win team. And it's also not outlandish to think that 103 wins for the Yankees is a high estimate. Everything has to break right if they don't have the pitching depth. And so we're going into the season where the Yankees are the prohibitive favorites to win the American League. But should they be? Should they be? Because there's a couple of things you have to keep in mind. Usually when you have a team like Tampa Bay, who is a smaller market, smaller budget team than the Yankees, but I'm not going to get in, every owner can afford to do what they want. But they won their 96 games, and they only got 23 starts and 107 innings out of Blake Snell. Remember Blake Snell? He won the Cy Young Award out of nowhere in 2018. If you had told me going into the 2019 season that the Tampa Bay Rays were going to be a 96-win team and a playoff team that advanced to the division series and actually gave the Astros a run for their money, because remember, they were rallying in Game 2, and they won both games at the Trop, and they took the series to Game 5. They extended the division series all the way to the limit. If you told me that had happened, I'd say, you know what? Then we've got ourselves a repeat Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell. No, he had a down year. He had a down year. Now, he's suffering some injuries right now. He's kind of to be determined whether or not he's going to be ready for opening day. But imagine if he came back. Maybe not at his Cy Young level, but not as having the thoroughly mediocre season that he had last year. What if he came back and became a solid pitcher, a solid, reliable starting pitcher? The former Cy Young Award winner turns into a good pitcher. Wouldn't that be like an acquisition? What about Jose Alvarado? Remember Jose Alvarado, who was tremendous his first season and a half, striking out 80 batters in 64 innings, walking only 29, throwing to a 2.39 earned run average out of the bullpen. Doesn't pile up the saves, but I don't care about saves. Saves don't tell you what kind of reliever you are. All of his statistics for the pitcher who is now just about to turn 25 years old was that he was an elite reliever and someone who gave the Rays a ton of depth. Well, he didn't even pitch in the postseason last year. He wasn't available. He experienced injuries. He was not there. He wasn't a contributor. Well, imagine if those two come back. Alvarado looks like he's in better shape this year, and he's going into this year as a potential reliever to give the team the depth that they need. And you take a look at their rotation. Charlie Morton, fine pitcher. Tyler Glasnow had a terrific first half of the year. Then you have the Yarbroughs and the Chirinos who make up the fourth and fifth spot, and Blake Snell at number two. What if that team is relatively healthy, and they get better seasons from Snell, and they get better seasons from Alvarado? Did I just say his name wrong? Alvarado. Alvarado, yeah, that's his name. It just sounded weird coming out of my mouth. And you take a look at their lineup, and you got Lau and Low. No matter which way you pronounce it, I'm not sure. You have Hunter Renfroe, who is going to be playing in a hitter's ballpark. You have Jose Martinez, who should be able to give him some pop. You have Kevin Kiermaier, and you have Yandy Diaz and Austin Meadows. All these are players who have ability to get the ball in play with a good starting rotation. And who knows what you're going to get out of players like you know, the player they signed from Japan, Yoshitomi Sugo. I know I just butchered his name, Emmanuel Margot, who everyone thought was going to be a great big player. You don't know what you're going to get. But you could have a solid lineup. G-Man Choi could continue to play well. You don't know what you're going to get on Mike Zunino, but maybe some other pitcher, some other catcher's going to fill in. And then you have the specter of Wander Franco, who is supposedly the best prospect in all of baseball, who's going to be in Double-A, but may find his way up as a 19-year-old on the team before you know it. And he's a guy who's got power, he's got speed, he's got all-around hitting ability. It's health. That's what it is. Be healthy, be healthier than the Yankees, which is not a very high bar to climb. Think about the base that the Rays are building upon. A 90-some-odd win team, a playoff team. And you're taking a look at the Yankees, who are a 100-some-odd win team, probably could have gone to the World Series if the Astros weren't playing the Astros. That's all I'll say on that. The path to the World Series that looked like it was almost a lock for the Yankees just a month and a half ago is a lot more wide open. And there have been plenty of instances of recent teams that look like they're putting together a surefire pennant winner that fall short. And it's always because of a combination of injuries and players regressing to the mean and another team playing better than they did the year before and getting contributions from players who they didn't get the year before. Well, the Rays have a former Cy Young Award winner and a blossoming elite relief pitcher who had down years last year. Imagine trading a mediocre Blake Snell for a very good Blake Snell. Isn't that like a trade? Imagine trading away a injured and ineffective Jose Alvarado for the Alvarado who was striking out nearly a batter and a half an inning. That's like a good trade too. Keep your eyes on the Rays. I don't care about ratings. I don't care about this or that thing. I love the idea of the Rays playing the A's in the ALCS and the winner gets a stadium. Health is the main factor of the American League East. The mighty Red Sox are not going to be a factor. The Orioles and the Blue Jays are not going to be factors. So the Rays are the biggest threat to the Yankees, and they have something that the Yankees don't have right now, which is room in the trainer's room. So go to the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. You can like me on all the places you listen to a podcast. And what else? You can binge me. You can just start listening. Go back to the Sully Baseball podcast and listen to the 1,700 episodes I did for them as well. This has been the Locked On MLB show for the fifth day of March 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.